The following is a recording of the Crédito Real's second quarter 2019 earnings conference call for Manuel Perez with IR Strat on Friday, July 26, 2019 at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time. Good morning and welcome everyone to Crédito Real's second quarter 2019 earnings conference call. Crédito Real issued its quarterly report on Thursday, July 25, 2019. If you do not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact us in Mexico City at 5255-5228-9753. It is important to note that the presentation and the MP3 recording referred to this call will be available at www.creal.mx. Before we begin the call today, I would like to remind you that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements on Crédito Real's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statement. With us this morning from Crédito Real, we have Mr. Angel Romanos, Chairman and CEO, and Mr. Carlos Ochoa, Deputy CEO. They will discuss on the more important strategic, financial, and operating aspects of the second quarter 2019. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Romanos.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Crédito Real posted another quarter of positive results, reaffirming the performance achieved during the first quarter of 2019 and walking through the accomplishments of its guidance. With a resilient commercial operation and metrics despite the subpar behavior of the Mexican economy. Domestically, the effects attached to the change in the federal administration are momentarily lower in GDP growth, although we remain optimistic on the prospects of the second half of the year as key macroeconomic variables such as inflation, exchange and interest rates remain stable. Separately, we are also enthusiastic about the government support on credit origination for SMEs and expansion of the country's financial inclusion, as these endeavors lay down a solid base for the medium and long-term development of our sector. Especially noteworthy this period was the double-digit increase in the consolidated loan portfolio, boosted by our articulated strategy of sustainable and flexible growth that arise as a firm fundamental behind our good numbers, which this quarter was greatly supported by the performance recorded in our international operations. Additionally, the continuous upscaling of our leasing and SMEs credit products bring forth a substantial support for the P&L and balance sheet as we kept the pace in the addition of lower risk assets with attractive yields. Turning now to our results breakdown, in Mexico's payroll origination was certainly affected by the economic slowdown, although key metrics as the portfolio quality, growth, and average loan behaved steady and better than expected. And as it has been over the last quarters, we kept focused on the incorporation of creditworthy clients, who meaningfully contribute to our industry-leading non-performing loan ratio of just 1.5% as of quarter end. Moreover, it is important to tell that we are undertaking a crusade for efficiency at all operating levels, as we are endeavorously seeking to offset higher cost of financing towards the consolidation of a more lean and effective structure. In relation to small and medium-sized enterprises segment, loan origination continues strong, posting a 99% annual growth, with enough room for further market penetration as we foresee favorable industry dynamics along the year. Meanwhile, used cars in Mexico posted a similar performance to payroll with a lower loan origination, but showing a stable customer base and average loans. Moving on to our business segments outside Mexico, Used Cars USA regained traction mostly in the operation of Cruzafin, despite the adverse migratory environment as loan origination solidly increased 99% with a very stable NPL ratio of only 0.6%. In this regard, it is also important to note that we expect further momentum as the ongoing generation of better economies from the new operating and commercial structure ramps up, thus providing us improved margins and wider brand visibility. Lastly, against a persistent weakness in the economic activity in Nicaragua and Costa Rica, Instacredit recovery moved forward, with loan origination increasing 14% versus the same period last year, reaching 841 million pesos. In addition, portfolio quality greatly improved as the NPL ratio dropped from 6.4% in the second quarter of 2018 to 4.8% this quarter, driven by adjustments performed to our collection standard. Before these numbers, we also anticipate positive prospects for our performance in Central America as we plan to endure resiliency, drawing on the further consolidation of an efficient and flexible institutional design, able to be adapted and succeed amid different challenges. Now, shedding broader color on recent developments over the quarter, we kept advancing in the operation of our share buyback program, delivery of our company's future and stock value by acquiring 2.3 million shares, equivalent to 52 million pesos. Separately, pursuant of our commitment to deliver attractive returns to our investors, we settled a record high dividend payment in our history, 70 cents per share, for an aggregated amount of 268 million pesos. As for the financing front, during the quarter, we drew down 1.6 billion pesos from three credit lines appointed to working capital needs and which extend our banking creditors' base. These operations, coupled with the credit limit increases and corporate debt placements carried out in previous quarters, strongly contribute to widen our financial flexibility to pursue our strategic and operating targets. Wrapping up, although pleased with the results obtained so far this year, we will continue with the hard work to enhance our business platform and contribute to the financial inclusion in Mexico, while offering competitive and differentiated products of credit in the international markets where we operate. Finally, I want to take the opportunity to congratulate Carlos Ochoa, our Deputy CEO, for being recognized by second year in a row in the two top-ranked CFOs in the practice by Institutional Investor Magazine, as well as his investor relations team that has been also well-ranked in different activities of its function, which constitutes an instrumental piece of our operations since the first day of our inception into the public market. Now, Carlos will discuss in greater detail our financial performance for the quarter.
Thank you, Angel, and good morning, everyone, and thank you all for being part of our quarterly conference call. As of quarter end, interest income reached 2.9 billion pesos compared to the 2.6 billion pesos recorded in the same period last year, following the growth achieved at the consolidated portfolio. During this quarter, interest expense totaled 1.1 billion pesos, increasing 28% when compared to the 856 million in the same period last year. This variation was mainly derived from financing the growth of the period at higher funding costs. Consequently, the financial margin amounted to 1.8 billion pesos in the reporting quarter, an annual increase of 22 million pesos, where the resiliency of our operations in Mexico and improved performance of our international businesses, especially Sinista Credit, helped to offset higher funding costs. Provision for loan losses this quarter totaled 335 million pesos, down 26% when compared to the 455 million pesos recorded in the second quarter of 2018, as a result of the continuous addition of high-quality assets. The coverage ratio increased from 180% in the second quarter of 2018 to 205%, a 25% 25 percentage points expansion. This variation is primarily explained by our enhanced management of credit, including origination, supervision, and collection. Meanwhile, administrative and promotion expenses of the quarter decreased 55 million pesos when compared to the same period last year, reaching 852 million pesos due to the implementation of different strategies such as the synergies achieved in Crédito Real USA and the consolidation of better operating controls in Insta Credit. Net income rose 33 million pesos, up 7% year over year. The deceleration of growth rate is a result of higher funding costs associated with the issuing of our senior notes earlier this year, which was more than offset by our strict risk-related strategies along with the pursuit of operational improvement. Meanwhile, our return on average equity was 12.3% as of June 30, 2019. Excluding the perpetual notes effect, the return on average equity was 16.7%. The return on average assets as of the end of second Q19 stood at 3.8%. Regarding the capitalization ratio, it reached 38.8% as of June 30, 2019. The funding cost recorded a 180 basis point increase from 11.4% at the second quarter of 2018 to 13.2% as of June 30, 2019, reflecting the rising rate environment that has prevailed in the international and domestic markets over the last 12 months. Nevertheless, the funding cost decreased 50 basis points in a sequential basis. It is important to note the resource withdrawal made from three credit facilities this quarter, in line with our strategy of constantly diversifying and improving our funding sources. In this regard, we remain optimistic to find an attractive funding opportunities as local interest rate has shown a stabilization trend over the last 6 months. Turning to our portfolio performance, at quarter end, the consolidated loan portfolio was 41.1 billion pesos, posting a 22% annual growth. Each of our business segments contributed to this achievement, outstanding Mexico's SMEs and payroll, without minimizing the recovery seen in the U.S. and Central America. Moving with greater detail into our credit portfolio, SMEs loan portfolio rose to 5.2 billion pesos, up 82% when compared to the figure recorded in the same period last year, largely driven by the increasingly positive customer response to our commercial offer in this segment. It is worth noting that the contribution of SMEs loan portfolio continued to rise, reaching 12.8% of the consolidated portfolio as of June 30, 2019, from an 8.6% in the second quarter of 2018. Next in order, payroll portfolio totaled 26.7 billion pesos, increasing 17% year over year this quarter, at lower pace to the previous quarter, but above the average growth rate of the last 3 years. That reflects the stabilization of the portfolio after the addition of the pensioner segment years ago. Used car portfolio rose 31% when compared to the second quarter 2018, amounting to 3.7 billion pesos. This positive performance was mainly fueled by the commercial synergies generated by our new operational structure in both countries. In the upcoming quarter, we expect to continue gaining traction among our target market, hand in hand with the ongoing consolidation of the recognition of our brands in these businesses. Lastly, Instacredit's loan portfolio expanded 0.3% or 14 million pesos at quarter end of to 4.7 billion pesos, supported by the initiatives launched in the previous months to stabilize its performance. In this sense, we keep vigilant and ready to recalibrate operation if circumstances make it necessary. Separately, our consolidated non-performing loan ratio decreased to 1.5% this quarter from 1.9% at the end of the second quarter of 2018, mainly driven by the pursuit of continuous improvement in our loan origination and collection standards. Turning to the balance sheet, as of June 30, 2019, total assets increased 18% or 8.3 billion pesos compared to the same period of 2018, amounting to 54 billion pesos reflecting the organic growth achieved in the consolidated portfolio and debt issuances conducted on the last 12 months. As of quarter end, the company's outstanding debt totaled 35 billion pesos, up 28%, or 7.5 billion pesos more in an annual basis, mostly explained by the replacement of our senior notes at the beginning of the year and the second debt issuance under our securitization program conducted in the fourth year of 2018, and to a lesser extent by the incremental balance recorded in bank loans. To conclude, as of quarter end, the stockholders' equity totaled 15.9 billion pesos, an annual increase of 6% or 918 million pesos, results of the already explained factors. With this, I conclude my remarks, and now let me turn back the call to the operator to open the line for Q&A.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. And our first question will come from Carlos Rivera with Barclays.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My first question is regarding the NIM. We continue to see a decline there, so I just wanted to get your thoughts about the expectations probably for this year and midterm. I know part of that has been the funding cost, which improved actually quarter over quarter in the second quarter, but as long as you continue growing fast in SMEs, I think it's going to be difficult to stabilize that NIM. So if you could share short-term and long-term your expectations there. And my second question is going to be on asset quality. The NPL ratio is actually pretty low based on your historical levels. So how much room do you think you have there, especially considering that economic activity continues to remain pretty slow in Mexico? So how much lower can you get there, or what levels we should start to expect? Thank you.
Hey, Carlos. Regarding your first question, when it comes to the NIM, yeah, you know, the factor that affected the most the increase in the NIM this quarter was and actually it wasn't during this quarter. Actually, it was, you know, the payment, when we paid down the 2019 senior notes earlier this year, and also we had another amortization of a Credit Suisse facility this year, and these two amortizations consolidated amounted for roughly, I don't know, probably 10% of the liabilities of the company. The significant thing about those amortizations is that those were the cheapest debt that the company had at the time. So basically, we substitute something paying in pesos around 7% with debt paying around 14% or something. So basically, that's what explains it the most. However, when it comes to the trend for the NIM as of the end of the year, for starters, we are not expecting more interest rate hikes. And probably, to tell you the truth, our base case scenario here in the company, we intend to be more conservative on that end, and we don't expect interest rate cuts. But if at some point we get 100 basis cuts, we could be talking again to NIMs around the 20%, which is our benchmark line, right? So we don't think that the NIM is going to continue to deteriorate, but on the other hand, it could be positively affected if they decide to cut rates over here in Mexico. I don't know if that answered your first question.
Yes, I'm just a little bit surprised. I mean, because if we only look at the yield of the loan portfolio, regardless of what's happened on the funding cost, that continues to come down over the last few quarters, and it's probably a combined effect of lower growth in credit in the past, but also higher growth of SMEs, which is the product that has the lowest yield. So I'm just trying to think about how the effect of the SME, which is the fastest growing segment now, impacts your NIM.
Yeah, definitely the NIM. I mean, if you think in those terms with the NIM, you are correct. I mean, the interest rate that we charge overall for the SME business here in Mexico is something around the 25-27%. So that's definitely, when you compare that one to whatever we charge in the payroll business, it's consistently lower. However, I mean, if you think about the good thing about the SMEs, on the other hand, is that's been the main driver in the improvement of the cost of risk, especially because, you know, they have way larger average ticket size, and that helps us a lot in terms of the cost of risk. So basically, the way we are addressing the pressures over the NIM is what can we do, both in terms of the efficiency ratio and also in terms of the cost of risk, in order to minimize whatever effect we have on the cost of funds.
Okay, understood. Let's move on to the asset quality question, please.
I mean, we are very pleased about the asset quality. I mean, for stories, I mean, think about our SME's business model. I mean, if you think about SME's business model, we are relying on a relatively small customer base, and we keep adding new products to customers that have been with us for a number of years. So we are not concerned about asset quality, and if you think about this business model with higher average cost of with higher average ticket sizes, that helps us in terms of the cost of risk. So that's mainly the main driver that you've been seeing when it comes to the cost of risk. Well, it's also worth mentioning, you know, the improvements that we are seeing in Insta Credits. I mean, the efforts of our team based there in terms of collecting and in improving the origination standards. I mean, we believe that they are paying off at this point. And today it's really hard to say, I mean, how much lower this can be brought down, because we are already way down, you know, 1.5% as of this quarter. We feel comfortable with that number, and I believe that it could be around that figure for the remaining of the year.
Okay.
Answering your second question, this is Angel Romanos. We still see a huge opportunity on the SME sector, even though the economy might be decelerating in the near future, because the need for money is so big, and we're working a lot with the development banks in Mexico to get the customers through them. And we have such a big pipeline for that we are cherry-picking all of our customers. We have very strict rules of who we lend to and who we don't. But we do expect to keep growing on that as banks go away from that segment and other companies that compete there. We see a great opportunity to pick up the best customers and remain with a good and well-performing portfolio, still growing it up.
Okay, so just to make sure I understood clearly about asset quality, so you are not concerned about asset quality in Mexico despite the country going to very slow rates of growth?
Not for now, because we are very cautious of who we lend to. I mean, our payroll business has always been counter-cyclical. And on the SMEs, as I told you, our pipeline is so big, we're authorizing less than 20% of what we get. So we really cherry-pick our customers.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ivan Fernandez with FactSet.
Oh, hi, good morning, and thanks for the call. It's Ivan Fernandez from PICTE. A few questions for you guys, please. The first one is expanding on this NIM question from the previous caller. Can you be more detailed and tell us where do you think your cost of debt will be in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, approximately?
Yeah, it should be around the 13.2, 13.5 that you are seeing right now. If you compare the cost of funds as of the first Q, which was around 13.7, it was explained by the negative carry that we used to have at the time. At this point, now that we have most of the other resources deployed, it came down to the 13.2. But as conservative as we are on our hedging strategies here in the company, I don't see it going down further than the 13.2, 13.5 that you are seeing.
Okay, thank you. Second question is on net income guidance for the year. Since the beginning of the year, you guys have been guiding for a double-digit growth in net income. I was wondering if you're reiterating that guidance at this point in the year, and also if you could clarify whether that minimum 10% growth in net income is including the exceptional gain, the one-off gain you had with derivatives in the first quarter of 150 million pesos, or excluding it?
No, it's excluding the one-time item, and we do believe that we can make the number by the end of the year.
Okay, thanks. The other question is, when I look at the trend of origination amounts, I can see that the payroll line, you have been originating a smaller amount than your previous trend. I think you were originating 1.6 billion to 1.8 billion per quarter in the last, say, 5 quarters or so, and now for the last couple of quarters it fell to something like 1.35 billion. So I was wondering if that's intentional or if you're struggling to originate assets in the payroll, which is your core business.
In part, it has been intentional as we get used to the new government and we evaluate again all of the contracts we have and where we want to lend and where we don't want to lend. And another part is just market-wise that the government is also installing itself and they don't know how things work yet perfectly. But we are, in the last 2 months, you'll see on the third quarter, we're going back to the amounts we were originating on last year. And for us, it's good to be having a better mix of origination with other products.
And you know, in addition to that, if you think about the origination rate that we experienced over the last couple of years, that was mostly driven by the pensioners, which was a new product at the time. Right now, that's a more mature product, and that also explains the decline in the origination of the payroll business overall.
Thank you. And last question is, I noticed you guys have stopped the buybacks in the last few weeks. I guess that was because of the blackout leading up to the earnings result. Do you intend to restart the buybacks straight away, or what is the plan for that for the coming months, please?
Yes, I mean we are convinced that the price doesn't reflect the value that we are creating, and we want to be very emphatic about how confident we are with the future and our business model. So we will continue to be more in the form of market making, but yes, we definitely will continue with the buyback.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1. And our next question comes from Nicolas Riva with Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Yeah, thanks very much. Just one follow-up on asset quality. So your NPL ratio came down in the quarter, 10 basis points. It's very low, below 2%. But we saw in some of your peers the NPL ratio increased. And I mean the peers in the non-bank financial space. And I know it's a wide space, some players more in unsecured personal lending, leasing for SMEs. But given that you are kind of branching out into other segments like SME lending, what's your view in terms of where Mexico is in the credit cycle right now? Thanks.
Well, I mean, as I was telling you, know, it's hard to as I was telling you at the beginning, you know, what's driving the cost of risk lower during this year is a way higher average ticket size with the SMEs product. As Angel stated, you know, earlier, you know, we are being very selective in terms of credit origination, and that coupled with our business model of adding new products, that helps us a lot. It's hard to say how things can be, I mean, how things can evolve in the country due to the changes in the macro aspect. But if you look at the NPL trends that we've experienced over the last couple of years, especially the last year comparing to last year, mostly is explained to the, you know, to the improvement that we've made in Insta Credit in Central America and all the efforts that our team based there has made.
Thanks, Carlos.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Natalia Corso with J.P. Morgan.
Good morning, Carlos. Thank you for taking my question. My question is with regards to the, the credit lines that you took this quarter. I'm curious to know the tenor of those credit lines, and I'm asking because I noticed a slight deterioration in the debt maturity profile of Credit to Real. There is now more debt maturing next year. So if you could clarify that for me, it would be great.
No, I mean, if you think about the maturities that we, if you think about the bank lines that we tapped this quarter, I mean, the duration of those normally is 3 to 5 years. You know, on the average, they are like 3 years. And I don't see a particular deterioration on the liquidity, on the debt profile of our liabilities. Actually, it's quite the opposite when you think about how the debt profile was at the beginning of the year. Because most of what you are seeing right now, most of them are revolving credit lines that with banks that we've been working for a number of years. So basically, we roll them over, and we are confident that that's not going to change.
All right. So just to confirm, so those are 3 to 5 years. I'm asking just to
On the average, let's say 3 years, because we don't get much longer than that outside Mexico, and the bank lines that we draw, they were from facilities from Mexican banks.
Right, okay. I'm asking because in the press release, I see about 6.1 billion pesos maturing in 2020, and looking at the press release of 1Q19, this number was 3.4 billion. So there was an increase of around 3 billion.
As for 2019, we have just two amortization, a 30 million facility from BNP, and whatever we have of a CS facility was 40 million. So that the combination of those two amounts for roughly $80 million, and that's the most visible part in terms of amortization. As for the rest, is as I was telling you, mostly those are revolving credit lines with banks that we have been working for a number of years already.
All right, and your amortization for 2020?
That's correct.
But how much is it?
As I was telling you, is the BNP with $30 million plus another amortization worth $44 million of the CS facility, and those are the most visible ones.
All right, okay. And those you had those before in the previous quarter?
No, because those are due in 2020.
Right. Okay. All right. I think I will follow up later with you. But thank you very much.
Perfect, Natalia. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Joshua Lazen with Cedar Street Asset Management.
Thanks for taking my question. We're seeing a number of new U.S. institutional investors entering the shareholder ledger, but the share price still has not really responded. Looking around the world, we do not see similar names trading anywhere near this valuation, and it continues to trade substantially below fundamental value. How does management think about the share price, and at what point would you consider doing further buybacks as opposed to capital allocation to the loan book? Thank you.
I don't know if I understood your question perfectly, but we are buying back shares, not only as a company, but as employees and as the original owners, and we're not on the quiet period. And we've been accumulating shares, and we think it's so cheap at this price, and we don't understand that the divergence between our bond prices and the stock price. Our 2026 bonds are trading at 112. Our 2023 bonds are trading at 105, 106 with a yield of 530. So we really don't understand the divergence, and we'll keep buying shares as long as they're as cheap as they are.
What do you think that the equity market does not understand about the name that allows them to value it at such a cheap level?
Excuse me?
Why is it that you believe the equity market does not, you know, seem to understand the name in the same way as the credit market? And what can the company do in terms of either investor outreach or dialogue with the market in order to improve the valuation?
We go through a lot of non-deal roadshows all year round to try to explain the company to investors. We don't know if it's a matter of liquidity on the stock, if it's a matter of not understanding the stock. But, I mean, we've been a public company since 2012, and the company has never been understood, and we're making better numbers every year and still growing our business. And as long as we still create value, we think someday the stock market will recognize that. And meanwhile, we'll have more shares for ourselves at these prices, which is not bad for us.
All right, thank you. As a final reminder, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you would like to ask a question. Thank you. Our next question comes from Manuel Gonzalez with Signum Research.
Hi, good morning. Congratulations on the solid results. I just had a quick question. I was wondering if you had some kind of strategy to rise your credit rating with the agencies. I mean, I don't know if you have something to some strategy due to looking forward to reach investment level or something.
Well, that's a good one. I mean, that's definitely a good one. I mean, we've been very close touch with the rating agencies, and especially because we don't want surprises over there. I mean, we are certain that there's a, you know, that the our rating is a differentiator between other non-banking financial institutions, and in that sense, I mean, we would love, you know, we would clearly we would love to be upgraded. I mean, probably we are on. If you look at our rating trends over the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, probably that's something doable. According to our view, it is. According to their view, it isn't. But let's say, I mean, over there, I mean, we cannot confront their methodology. But I mean, just wait to see. I mean, at some point, that's bound to happen, I say.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
All right, at this time, there are no more questions in the queue, and the Q&A session has concluded. Thank you for being on today's conference call, and you may now disconnect. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.